Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and another great show we've got for you today. Of course, we're going to get right into our pay attention topic. After our pay attention topic, we're going to talk a little baseball. We've got assistant general manager of the Bowie Bay Sox and friend of the show, Phil Rye, joining us today, talk a little spring training. And of course, super ref Craig Muckle, talking March Madness, because we are in March now and it's already mad. So, but before we do that, I'd like to give a couple shout outs to a couple of teams who have been friends of the show, been on the show recently, and one of them is a shout out and congratulations to the Salisbury State men's basketball team. Coach Sachs was just on the show, and although they were upended in the D3 tournament by Endicott University, Salisbury and Coach Sachs had a great season and finished strong with a 20-8 record. So congratulations to Salisbury State men's basketball team. Also, congratulations to Parkdale High School women's basketball team. They, too, were upended last night by Eleanor Roosevelt, but they also had a marvelous season, and thank their coach and athletic director for coming on the show. And finally, let's not forget a friend of the show, NAIA Division II Washington and Venice men's basketball team. They made the tournament for the NAIA Division II. They're going to take their 22-6 record into the tournament versus Northwestern Iowa. The Shock will play next Thursday in the first round of the NAIA playoffs. So looking forward to much success from the Shock. So now let's get to the PAT, the pay attention topic. There's so many things going on, so many topics that we could talk about. I mean, one, right out the gate, $24 million. Kirk Daniel Cousins got his money. It played itself out. It worked, I guess, in everyone's favor. The Redskins got their man. They got their starting quarterback for at least one season. And Kirk Daniel Cousins is getting paid top five quarterback money. So now the problem is, what do we do next season? So do we draft a quarterback now and head for the future? Do we get Colt McCoy in some games during the year? Or do we try and hammer out a long-term deal for Kirk Cousins? I don't know. Don't know what they're going to do. I think a more intriguing story and a more intriguing PAT fact that the Redskins have no general manager at the combine. Now, that's really unusual. I know Scott McLuhan, media reports are he's had a death in the family and is tending to those things, but it is very strange that there is no general manager. So the president, Bruce Allen, and the scouting staff are out at the combine. So I don't know, a little odd. Speaking of combine, another PAT possible topic could have been Reuben Foster, Roll Tide, Alabama, big-time linebacker, going to be a first-round pick. But he got sent home from the combine. I just don't get that one. Why? How do you get sent home for arguing with one of the trainers? So I don't know. I'd like to hear more about this story, but that definitely could be a pay attention topic, but no. How about the Caps? 14 straight wins at home at Verizon Center. Is this the year? You know, you'll want to get excited. You'll want to get behind them. But we've been let down so many times. But I'll tell you, 14 straight at home, pretty good. Just got a new defenseman from the St. Louis Blues. They arguably, this is the best team they've ever fielded, but we've said that five or six times. We have no Stanley Cup. So, you know, that could be another great pay attention topic. But no. The pay attention topic for this week, it's pretty simple. Absolutely, Georgetown basketball. Today, the Hoyas, 14-16, a less than 500 record, face Villanova. Now, some 22 years ago, in 1985, Georgetown played Villanova for the national championship in a David and Goliath game, and Georgetown was supposed to destroy that Nova team, and Nova came out and could not miss. I think they shot 70% from three-point range, and they pulled off one of the greatest upsets in college basketball history, and really, you know, was kind of the cloth for making March Madness what it is, because no one expected Villanova to beat mighty Georgetown. So, you know, when I look at just some of the statistics, since I don't have to go all the way back to even that far, I could go just a few years ago, what has happened to Georgetown basketball? I mean, this is, you know, I mentioned it on Facebook this week. I grew up on Georgetown basketball. You know, went to the camp. I mean, I'm a Hoya for life. But for whatever reason, the Hoyas are really, really in a downward spiral here. Now, they lost to DePaul. Lost to DePaul by, I don't know, barely, but they lost. And then they lost to St. John's all in the same week. So I'm just trying to figure out, how does that happen? I mean, that can't happen. But when you look at it, you know, this could be their first time losing two straight games. Or, I'm sorry, two straight losing seasons. That hasn't happened since 1973. 73. Yeah, you know, 73, when they weren't even on TV at that time. So I'm just trying to find out, like, what is going on? You know, last week, they had a huge game, but let me back up to the fan in me. The fan in me is, you know, if you listen to the show or you know me, you would think Pitt football is my number one team, right? You would think that. I mean, I bled Pitt football. I worked 4 years for Mike Godfrey, sitting in every coach's meeting. I was at every practice, two bowl games. I know all the traditions. I love Pitt football. You would think maybe, no, it's Redskins. You know, I have cried when the Redskins have lost to the Dallas Cowboys in heartbreaking games. You know, I've watched the Redskins. I watch every transaction, every coaching hire, fire, the quarterback controversies, all that. But, you know, it's really Georgetown. Georgetown is my favorite sports team ever. And I'm going to tell you how much. I'll go back to Pitt for a minute. I'll never forget at halftime, I was asked to take the halftime shot for you could win a car or whatever it was, one of these promos. I had on Georgetown tank top, shorts, tennis shoes, high tops. I got booed. Ice was thrown on the court. I literally fell down when I shot the ball. And of course, I didn't make the half-court shot. But that's how much of a fan I was. I can remember Pitt coaches coming over to me and saying, hey, why are you wearing all that Georgetown stuff on campus? And I can tell you why. You know, first of all, the apparel was appealing. You know, I can remember getting my first Hoya starter jacket. I was the only person that crossed in high school, and then a guy named Quentin Miner ran out and got the same jacket. And I can remember, you know, how proud I was to wear those colors. And then they started, you know, getting the longer shorts and the colors, Nikes with the gray and blue colors on it and the tank tops with the t-shirts inside. I loved it. But it was even bigger than that for me. It was black players at a white school. And that just didn't happen in the 80s. It just didn't, you know, there was always diversity. But this entire roster was 12. That's what it was. And they would go to class during the week, and they were doing their schoolwork, and they were staying out of trouble. And these same guys would come out, and they would play their games, and they would play really tough defense. I mean, they put the word rebound on the map. They played really aggressive man-to-man defense. And quite honestly, they intimidated teams. And I actually studied. I would watch their games. I'd video their games. And I'd watch how they would make a team melt and give up and quit. And I took that same grit to the football field as a coach, and I wanted the same thing. So for me, you know, it's a big deal. And I tell you, like so many people, it pains me to even discuss, but you got to discuss what's going on at Georgetown. Now, if you think about it, when Coach Thompson, the dad, and Coach Gibbs, who are in the Mount Rushmore coaching in D.C., when they left the Hoyas and the Redskins, it took a long time to get back to the quote-unquote good old days, right? And it may never happen. You may never get back. I mean, Jay Gruden's had some splashes. You know, I think they got, what, one playoff game. They won one NFC East championship. Great. John Thompson III, he's had some early moments. Now, some argue that he did that with, you know, Craig Eschrich's players. I don't buy that. I think he came in with a system that was different. I think he's a great coach. I mean, I really do. But he's had some early moments. But for me, I guess what's really the challenge is I'm such a fan, but I'm also such a coach. And as a coach who's had to sit in those meetings where I was relieved of my duties, I'm just looking for some accountability here. No politics, no nothing. I mean, I was a good guy. I got dealt a bad blow. I've coached bad teams. I've coached good teams. I've been told we're parting ways for no apparent reason that had anything to do with football and winning games. So I guess all I want to know is how do we do this? How do we just let the program spiral out of control like this? I know one thing that will quiet this down. Just this week alone, there were three articles calling for a change on the coaching staff and the head coach at Georgetown. You want to quiet that noise? Win some games. Win some games. You can't be 14 and 16. Win some games. This program is a top-flight program, nationally recognized. Nationally recognized. They've won national championships. You could recruit any kid in the country to come to Georgetown. So, want to quiet some of these articles? Want to quiet people in the stands chanting. There are people last week, there were people in the stands chanting for a coach's change. You want to change that? Win. Win some games. But right now, I'm going to tell you what the elephant in the room is, in my opinion. It comes down to money, and that's why this is a business and sports show. It really comes down to that. If you don't go to the NCAA, if you don't go to the NCAAs, you're not making money. You're not. Your attendance is going down. That can't happen. You can't have your attendance going down. That means people aren't buying Cokes and hot dogs and beer and this and that. That's not a good thing. You can't have that. Now, I will say this. This program has been scandal-free in the age of scandals, right, with the internet, recruiting violations, this, that, and the other. This is about as clean a program, and I applaud Coach Thompson for that. However, losing also kills recruiting. And right now, I don't know if you can get, you know, a blue-chip kid to come to Georgetown to play basketball when, you know, you're not winning games. You're 14 and 16. It's unacceptable. So, no, I won't sign a petition to fire any coach. I don't believe in that. I'm not going to chant at the games to fire the coach. I don't believe in that. Having been on the other end of that, I know what it feels like. But I'm going to tell you what I am going to do. I'm just going to simply hope Georgetown wins. Period, the end. They got to start winning some basketball games. And they got to start winning. They can win a day. They need to beat Villanova today. Villanova's ranked number 2 in the country. And like I said, 22 years ago, they played an epic national championship. This would be a great win for Georgetown to start getting that thing turned around and start the recruiting for next season and seasons beyond. So, hey, I'm just looking for a guy to be held accountable. So we'll see what happens. Next week, we're going to continue this dialogue. I'll actually open the phone and see what you all think. Because it's funny, no one really wants to talk about George and the coaching change, and that's a little odd to me, but it is what it is. So, hey, anyway, we are going to take a quick break and come back with friend of the show, Phil Rye, assistant general manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, as soon as we get a little bit of Chuck Brown in us. And, hey, Georgetown, if it takes listening to Chuck to win a game today, listen to this Chuck. Back to the Extra Points Radio Show, and I'm looking at the amount of callers we have, which is great. And so everyone heard my rant about Georgetown basketball. I got to tell you, we're going to shift gears over to a little spring training action. And I don't know if baseball players really need money, but let's check with friend of the show, Phil Rye. Phil, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Phil, good morning, man. Good to hear your voice. A long time no hear. How's everything?
Yeah, it's been good. Been good, yeah. Just a busy off season and getting things ready here for, I guess, about a month from now or so to get the season going.
Well, you know, it's a month or so away, but I tell you what, this is a huge season over at Prince George's Stadium, and I know there's some excitement in the air. I'm hearing something about 25 years, something's going on. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the 2017 season will be the 25th season of Bowie Bay Sox baseball and also our 25th season being the AA affiliate for the Baltimore Orioles. So kind of a fun season to be out at the ballpark and have some fun and some things that we've got planned throughout the year. But, you know, when I go around the community and stuff in the Bowie, Prince George's, Anne Arundel County areas, most people don't think it's been that long. I don't even think it's been that long, and I started with the club back in 1999. So when I joined the team in the front office, I thought the team was in its advanced stages, and it was only about 6 years old. So this will be my 19th.
Wow.
With the team. So it's kind of full circle there for me. But it should be fun, and we've had a lot of great things happen in the community and with the team and with the events that we've put on over the years. So it should be another fun one here this year.
Well, I've been at several of those events, and I know one of them was, I can remember the night you had Layla Ali out there, and I know you had plenty of pro wrestling out there. You've had celebrity softball out there. I mean, how are you going to top that this season? You got the 25th. I mean, I'm sure you got all kinds of promos and everything.
Well, with the baseball season, that's the core business for us is the 70 home games. The other events, they really do come to us, as being a prominent venue in the marketplace to hold events such as the ones you mentioned. It's been fun to look back, though. I mean, I've been a part of most of those events, and there's so many stories I could tell about the Layla Ali fight. you know, when she was there, and the trials and tribulations we had at even getting that event going. It was a fun night at the ballpark until it started to rain. And with the boxing commission of the state not, you know, being very, and they need to be, being very strict about the rules and not allowing, obviously, any water to get on the ring and the canvas. My colleagues at the Bay Sox and I, we actually stood in the rain for 2 hours holding a tarp over the ring. And then just before the cameras went on for the pay-per-view event, we knew it was going to rain about 45, 50 minutes later, give or take. And so Leila Ali was supposed to be the last fight of the night, the main event, and she had to go on first. And she was not happy about it, but put on a show for about 3 rounds against a fighter named Nikki Epelon. I'll never forget her. And then in the fourth round, just beat her to a pulp and won. But, you know, standing in the rain for 2 hours was not fun. But to get the event off, it's kind of that minor league mentality. You got to do what you got to do. But we've also looked back on some other events, you know, the old Allen Iverson celebrity soft games we used to have. And I actually found a picture earlier this week of LeBron James wearing a Mets jersey, a throwback Mets jersey on our field alongside Kevin Garnett, who played in that game many years ago. And just to think of the talent we've had, and Steve Francis was out there, and, you know, so many other guys, Nate Burleson from the NFL and guys like that, that have played in those games. You know, it's been a lot of fun to look back at those journeys, you know, concerts and things like that. So a lot of the extra events that we get, the concerts, the softball games and things, come to us when people are looking for a venue kind of in between the DC Baltimore market. But, you know, we really concentrate on the 70 games until those events come up. And, we do have a lot of fun things going on this year. And we're looking forward to the 25th season. And, you know, I would look at probably on the baseball side, the most fun season I've had was 2 years ago in 2015, winning the Eastern League Championship. That kind of was a lot of fun to be a part of. And being a part that it was our first ever championship round, never mind our first ever championship. So, we've had a lot of fun at the ballpark.
And, you know, I think people fail to connect that really they're looking at the future Orioles. I mean, this is, mm-hmm. you know, these guys, they come through, they're on 301, and they're very accessible, right? I've been out there. You walk right up on guys and say hello and autograph and that. But then they could get called up the next day, and they're in the majors. So tell me about that whole – how does that feel?
Well, it's, you know, it really is, you know, over the time that I've spent with the team, the 18 years. And so, I mean, I've seen over 100 guys go play in the major leagues, and in the Orioles system, most of those guys have gone on to play for the Orioles. Some of them have gone on to long-term careers. Some of them have had a day in the majors, and the other guys are in between that. But over the past few years, I've noticed a lot of philosophical changes from the Orioles, where they're not afraid to dip to double A to pull a guy up to the major leagues when they need them. You know, a few years ago, I think there's this really good third baseman for the Orioles. Is it Manny, I think his name is?
yeah, Machado, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know that guy. But, you know, he's out there playing shortstop every day. He's in the lineup every day. And all of a sudden, one day, he's playing third base. And we're like, maybe get a little versatility just to check it out. And the next day he plays third base, and the next day he gets called up to start at third base in the major leagues. And we're like, wait a minute, he's played there 2 games. I mean, you see him take ground balls during BP and stuff, and, you know, guys move around the diamond to do different things. But that guy, Manny Machado, has never played a day in AAA. He went right from AA to the major leagues and is an all-star, platinum glove winner, gold glove winner, you know, and – it's hard to do, but the talent level at the AA level now is bigger and better than it was even 10, 15 years ago. So they're not afraid to dip down and bring up the younger guys because they do take precious spots on the 40-man roster and the 25-man roster. And if you're going to go and pull somebody up, that's going to be somebody that you're probably going to hold on to for the next few years in their future. For example, last year there were five players that were called up to Baltimore directly from Bowie. Now, some of those guys stayed up there. Some of them came back and then went back up. A couple years ago in 2015, Michael Givens did that. Michael Givens went right up to Baltimore when they needed an arm, came back to us, went back up to Baltimore in August and helped them on their drive, towards the playoffs. But was a big part of our Eastern League championship year. Michael Givens has never thrown a pitch in AAA. Donnie Hart last year has never thrown a pitch in AAA. So there are guys that are helping the Major League ball club directly from the AA level. And, you think about it, over the 24 years of the Bay Sox right now, we have over 160 players that have played on our field that have gone to play in the major leagues. Some of the names you'll know, some of the names you don't know. They had a day or two in the major leagues, but if you look at that and kind of do the math, you're looking at 6, 7, 8 players a year from a team might go play in the major leagues somewhere. That's pretty impressive.
From a money standpoint, then really it's a great buy because a night out at a Bowie Bay Sox game. Significantly cheaper than Camden Yard. And you're seeing guy in a way. You're kind of getting him for a steal a little bit. Manny Machado, you can't get him for a steal now. It's going to cost to head out to Camden Yard. That's going to affect a family of four big time in the wallet. Tell me about this, though. What kind of money are we talking about? If I'm class AA, I'm playing for the Bowie Bay Sox, I'm an average Joe, hopefully I get called up one day, do I need to get a full-time job here? And then next thing I know, I'm a millionaire. How does that work?
Yeah.
Where do these guys, where do they live? How do they live?
If you're not a first round or two draft pick with some bigger signing bonuses, and have that in the bank to live off of as you make your ascent through the minor leagues. It is a struggle for minor league ball players. When a player is drafted either out of high school or college, in the June draft, for all intents and purposes, they're going to go play rookie ball, which in the Orioles system is the Aberdeen Ironbirds. They're going to play short season. Those guys are going to make about $1,200 a month for the time that they're playing baseball. So once the season ends, they don't get paid until next season starts. Guys that are playing in low A full season are going to be in the $1,300 to $1,500 range. The guys that are in higher A ball, like they're playing in Frederick, they're going to be in the $17 to $2,000 range. The AA guys are going to be $2,200-ish or so. Where a guy can really make some money in the minor leagues is when they become a minor league free agent. I've seen numerous examples of this over the years where, especially in the Orioles, they like to have some veteran guys at the AA and AAA level. But if you're if you finished your 6-year contract when you originally sign with an organization, you're their property, so to speak, for 6 seasons. And that's taking out the Rule 5 draft and all the opportunities that you might get to go to another organization. But if you stay with that organization and you're not picked up in some other way, And you've proven at least at the AA level and maybe even at the AAA level that you can provide, let's say an organization has a young hitter that's 22 going to play in AA next year, but the lineup might be a little thin around them. They want a proven guy that's got some 6, 7-year, 8-year minor league experience and is a good hitter, might be able to protect that kid in the lineup by letting him see more pitches because they don't want to pitch to the veteran. They're going to pitch to the young kid. You might see a guy like that make you know, anywhere from $6,000-$7,000 a month up to $50,000 a month, depending on the level. I mean, some AAA ball players, when they sign minor league contracts, are making decent money in the minor league level, $15,000-$40,000 a month, depending on what their value is to the organization. You know, the Orioles sign a lot of minor league free agents, if you follow the transaction wire, the Michael Bournes, the Paul Janishes, those types of guys. I don't know exactly what they're making, but they're in the decent money range, I would assume, you know, to where they can provide for a family. Now, it's not the major league, you know, average of $3.2 million a year, but you're playing baseball, making $100,000-$150,000 a year. Yeah, it's more than an up-and-coming minor leaguer.
It's more than arena football. It's more than the NBA D League. It's more than I mean, that's pretty good money. And then, of course, if you're a Manny Machado guy, you know, which is kind of like getting a lottery, but my goodness, you're making real good money. So tell me about the coach. Tell me about the manager, because before you came on, I went on a 15-minute rant about Georgetown's basketball coach and why there needs to be something done over there. But I don't hear much on minor league managers. You know, they pretty much stay put? And what kind of money do they, those guys, I mean, do you need a part-time job? Are those guys trying to be in the majors as well, like a player?
Yeah, I mean, for managers and coaches, you know, they're all trying to put in their work and learn their craft and learn how to coach. You know, a lot of minor league coaches and managers are former players. So they're getting into the system of what is my style, who can I learn from, and how can I impart my suggestions, wisdom, experiences to them without being overbearing, so to speak. And everybody does it differently. You know, it tends to – organizations do it differently. A lot of times at the AAA level, you'll find experienced guys that have experience managing, that have come up the system, that might be a little bit on the older side. At the lower levels of the minor leagues, you might find younger guys, but sometimes you find more veteran guys because they want a veteran manager leading 18, 19, 20-year-old kids coming out of college or high school. And to set a foundation for them. So every organization does it a little bit differently, but hey, they're all trying to get noticed too. You know, if you look a lot, if you pay attention on the minor league level, in the recent years, and I'll say the past four or five, you're starting to see minor league teams have an extra coach potentially. It used to be manager, hitting coach, pitching coach, trainer, and that was it. Now, on our system and in our teams and the Orioles teams, it's manager, pitching coach, hitting coach, and typically what they call an extra coach. Sometimes it's been a former catcher, because in the minor leagues, you don't have a catching coach right there with you. And it's such a specialized position. They want somebody that can – you know, they can drill the catchers and to put them through their paces as they're learning too. And really, a former catcher is a good guy to have doing that. And if you look at the major leagues, a lot of managers out there are former catchers, you know, and coaches and things. Look at the Orioles, John Russell, you look at Mike Socha, guys like that, you know, catchers get to see the game a little differently. So catchers, I guess, in the pantheon of coaching might make better coaches or managers. So maybe that's a reason why, I don't know, just a personal thought there. But you also have a strength coach, a video coach, or coordinator.
Wow.
You're, you know, so now instead of it being four coaches, it's now 7 to 8 guys that are there in a minor league team. Not every team's doing that, but in the Orioles system, that seems to be the way for a bunch of the teams. You know, being able to do a little bit more specialization and getting down in even deeper. But you look at, you know, I'll take the Bowie Bay Sox for an example. Last year's our pitching coach was former Orioles pitcher Alan Mills, our hitting
coach.
Oh,
yeah, I remember Alan Mills. He was a long relief guy. Yeah,
he was. Had a nice fight with the Yankees a few years ago, too, that a lot of people remember.
He did.
In the dugouts with Daryl Strawberry.
75. He had a good fight. Yeah,
yep.
He did. Man.
So,
well, Phil.
And our hitting coach was a guy named Howie Clark, who came up with the Orioles, played for Toronto, played for a couple other teams. Both of those guys right now were hired by the Orioles. You've got Alan Mills is the bullpen coach with Baltimore, and Howie Clark was hired to be the assistant hitting coach behind Coolbaugh in Baltimore. So, yes, those guys are trying to get noticed to get back to the major leagues or to get a major league job. So it's a proving ground. And the other one thing I wanted to mention, when you go to a minor league game, look for what the manager does when your team is batting. A lot of times the manager coaches third base. Why? Well, they want to be responsible for what happens on the field and the base paths. But a lot of times you don't go from being a minor league manager to being a major league manager. You go to be a bench coach, a first base coach, a third base coach. If you're a successful third base coach as a manager in the minors, guess what? You might be a successful third base coach in the majors. So they want that responsibility also to be seen and be seen for what they can do to help the major league organization. But a lot of major league teams will also bring in their AAA and AA coaching staffs to help at major league spring training before the minor leaguers get there. So there's a lot of interaction now over the time. I know that our manager receives calls from, Buck Showalter many times a week. If they're talking about bringing a guy up, he knows exactly what's going on with everybody. So there's a lot of interaction there, and I know that they're thought of very highly in the Orioles organization.
Well, I tell you what the call they need to make is to bring you to Camden Yards. That's the call. You're ready. Your time now. That call is coming. That's the call they need to make. you're ready. Hey, Phil, real quick, give us the website so folks can find out more information from you, and then I got to shift back over to hoops. Give us the website real fast.
It's baysox.com, baysox.com. You can also follow us on the social media platforms. Our 2017 promotional schedule's up on the website. We've got a lot of fun giveaways and events going on this season. So we open up on Thursday, April 13th. Hopefully it's not a Friday the 13th, so that's a good thing. We play through Labor Day, so we have a lot of games, a lot of fun events, and a great place to bring the family for a fun night out. So we hope your listeners will come on out.
Phil, great job, man. Thank you so much. And I'm going to make sure I make my way out there. And we're going to make more time for baseball this year on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Sounds good. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Thanks a lot. Phil Ryan, the Bowie Bay Sox. That dude's ready. The Orioles need to call him. He's ready. That dude knows his baseball. Speaking of knowing, well, I don't know if this guy knows his baseball because he's probably a Mets fan, but we got to bring in Super Referee Craig Muckel, because I got some stuff to pick with him. So let's bring him in right now, shall we? Craig, are you there?
Good morning, Coach Howard. And, yes, I am a Mets fan. I love baseball, and good job of having Phil Rye, one of the good guys in Prince George's County, and I agree he's ready to move up. I've known him for a number of years. Does great stuff over at Bay Sox Stadium.
He absolutely does. So, Craig, I don't know if you heard, but for 15 minutes, I went on a rant about JT3. But before we get to that, my bone to pick with you, Super Referee, if you're going to have that name, you can't tell me that Gonzaga's the number one team. I told you they weren't the number one team. I told you they weren't that good, and I told you the Blue Bloods would start taking over. If I look at the top 10, look at the Blue Bloods starting to take over. What say you?
Well, I knew that when BYU beat Gonzaga, you were going to beat up on me, so I was prepared. But, that's the life a referee leads, so it's just another day in the life. But, hey, it's conference play. BYU, look, and because I had time to think about it, BYU is not bad. It's a conference game. They're fired up. And, it's a good win for them. Let's face it. They went up to Gonzaga's place. And, Dave Rose's team did a good job with that. I got to give them credit. They won by 8, so that's not an unimpressive win. And let me just go back. BYU sort of came into the picture nationally, I think it was about 33 years ago. I know I was working at my very first employer that was then called the Total Sports Network. We know it now as the worldwide leader, ESPN, when a little known point guard at the time named Danny Ainge went the length of a floor to beat a pretty well-regarded Notre Dame team. So BYU started coming on the basketball. So do I. So I bring that up because that was like 30-some-odd years ago, as I mentioned. So BYU does have a little of a basketball pedigree. So once again, you know, they may toil in a conference that doesn't get a lot of respect, but let's face facts. That was a good win for them. And, you know, who knows what they'll do in the tournament. But I'm not overly concerned. I mean, kind of getting to your point, you know, Gonzaga, I think, fell down to fourth this week. Yeah, they did. But look at it, you know, Kansas. Yeah, I mean, you know, UCLA had a nice win over Arizona at, you know, in Tucson. So what are you going to say about that? You know, Villanova has been solid all year.
Hold on. If you look at the bottom five from 5 to 10, these are your boys out in the West playing those easy, soft schedules. You got Oregon out there. You got Arizona out there. You got West Virginia playing a Mountain West schedule. So I don't even consider the from 6 to 10. Now, Kentucky's there, and I think Kentucky will see them slide over to that top 4 or 5, and I think if either Louisville or Kentucky will slide over. We'll get Gonzaga out to the West where they belong, and I think it'll be all blue bloods from 1 to 5 when it's all said and done.
Well, look,
so
I'm not sold on
Oregon and Arizona yet, or Oregon's back. I'm not sold on any of these West teams, and I'm shocked that you are.
Watch the tournament. That's all I can tell you. Because I think, like I said, last year, look, I was like you last year. I'll be perfectly honest. When Duke played Oregon, I expected Duke to maybe not roll them, but I expected, you know, Duke to win. They did not. You know, so let's face facts. You got to give some of these teams respect. And, you know, I think let's do the, you know, we talk about the eye test. You know, I think if you watch enough of their games, and I'm not suggesting, you know, I'm not going to make you sit there and watch their entire schedule. But, I mean, watch when they're playing name teams that you and I and maybe others here on the East Coast are familiar with. I mean, when they start beating or playing them well and coming out East, they're like, look, UCLA – we talked about it earlier this year. UCLA went to Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky. I had to give it to them. I mean, that's not unimpressive. I mean, so now UCLA, they've won some other games on the road, like I said, at Arizona this year. So I think they're ready. And, you know, usually the regular season is really for a lot of these blue bloods and, you know, other teams like Gonzaga and what have you. They're just priming for the tournament. So, you know, right now, teams are fine-tuning. The conference tournament play starting this week. It's the best time of the year in my sport. And so I'm just going to tell you, watch the tournament play this week and watch the NCAA tournament. And I think in a week or two, you're going to tell me, you know what, these teams ain't so bad in the on the West.
Well,
this is the first year
team,
the West has had some teams.
Well, I got my eye on number two today. Number two, Nova, who I cannot stand. They're playing Georgetown. Okay. So the first 15 minutes of this show today, I'm not calling for anybody to be fired. I'm not signing any petitions. I'm not putting up signs at an empty stadium. But what I am saying is, as a coach who's had to sit in meetings where I've heard parted ways and relieved of duty, I am looking for some accountability. So you got to weigh in on this for me. Am I way out in left field? I mean, they got an empty stadium. They're not going to the NCAAs. What blue chip kid is going to come here and play in that offense? There's got to be some accountability done. What say you?
Well, I did weigh in on you, and for the benefit of your listeners, I was on your Extra Point Facebook page, I think, as you know, after last week, to ramp up this JT3 discussion I knew you were going to have. And it's been tough. I mean, tough sledding for the Hoyas. I actually love the Hoyas because when I was back in my alma mater, they came to the University of Dayton Arena more years ago than I care to remember and beat us in the NIT. That's the first time I ever saw or heard of Georgetown when, you know, Dad Thompson was coaching. And I've been, since then, I've been just a fan of how they played. The last few years, they've definitely struggled. And typically, you know, they're not really the Georgetown team that I think you and I kind of grew up to know. I'm like you. I don't like to see anyone lose a job. And I do think you're right on the accountability thing. The only and the thing I said to you on your Facebook page, and I'll say it here, is before we start, you know, if you see that a problem, I think we need to have a solution. And, I, you know, the last person that coached not named Thompson was Craig Escherich. I don't think that worked out very well. And so
I think that's arguable because here's the thing. Some say that Escherich, you know, he didn't spend a ton of time and he, you know, I think he only had, what, 2 or 3 years. However, he recruited really well. So some argue that JT3's initial surge of success was with Escherich's players. So I'm not sure if Escherich, maybe the trigger was pulled quickly. This is the bottom line. They're 14-16, period, the end. That's a losing record, right?
Absolutely.
GW, little GW. They're 17-13, by the way. They'll beat Dayton today, so you heard that here first. But they're 17-13, GW. They fired their coach before the beginning of the year because the coach yelled at the kids too loudly. What I'm saying is, it's Craig, people don't even want to talk about it. The fans that pay good money out at Verizon to boo you and boo Georgetown are now getting booed. So the fans that are booing are getting booed. Oh, don't hurt his feelings. This, that. Come on, man, are you kidding me? I just don't get that from a top-flight organization. And I know I get the politics and all that, but this is a business and sports show. And it's all about the money.
Yeah.
This guy, I looked it up. He's top 12 in salary.
I think if you asked him, he would tell you he needs to definitely do a better job. I mean, you know, the results don't lie. 14-16, it is what it is. You know, you are what your record says you are. So no one's going to argue that. I think he would be the first to agree. It does start with recruiting, and you know, you mentioned George Washington. We talked a little bit about Mason last week. We also have, obviously, Maryland in the area here, Virginia a little further away. You know, there's a lot of teams around here that can obviously play basketball. And, you know, the Big Ten tournament's coming to this area this week. So, you know, let's face it. There's a reason why it's coming here because they're looking to, you know, make a name. So that's going to make it much harder for a team like Georgetown that's recruiting in this hotbed. And, you know, there's so much talent here locally. I mean, it's important to try to keep as many of our local players here that I see at the high school level close to home. That's going to be very tough if, you know, Georgetown doesn't get it together. I do think JTC will probably get another year. I mean, you know, it is – look, his dad is a legend over there. And so I think there's clearly politics involved. We get all of that. But I do think at some point they're not going to ignore the cat calls. And I think, you know, the administration does want to win, you know, because that, you know, that's really the only sport that Georgetown participates in of any, you know, renown.
Yeah, the football is awful. So, hey, let me ask you, you mentioned the Big Ten tournament coming to Verizon Center, which is a big deal for D.C. I think that's very cool for Maryland and all that. Is that any good basketball, though? Is that really any good? I mean, I think football when I think Big Ten. Is that any good?
Yeah. I tend to enjoy it. My favorite conference tournament that my team does not play in is usually the Big East tournament. And again, I think that will captivate me. But I always find the Big Ten tournament, you know, very, very interesting because, I mean, you have a lot of, you know, big-time teams in there with lots of name recognition. You got a lot of big-time coaches. Obviously, you know, Izzo's still going to have his Spartans fighting hard. And, you know, we don't talk very much about Purdue. But they have a great guy, player Caleb Swangen. I think we talked about him a little bit last week. I love that guy. And, you know, I hope the Knicks find a way to draft his behind because he's a double-double machine waiting to happen.
Warriors-Knicks tomorrow. By the way, Warriors-Knicks tomorrow on national television.
No
why,
I have
that,
no idea. I agree.
Game,
I'm like, I'm a hardcore Knicks fan. I'm like, and why are we doing this? Seriously?
Tell me about the Knicks. What's the deal? What's the deal? Although Melo had a couple of, you know, little splashes during the week this week. I think he hit one and won a game or something. But what's the deal? Should they just blow that thing up again, or what's the deal?
They should blow it up, but it's not Melo's fault largely. I mean, Phil Jackson has not done a good job. Clearly, with the loss of Joakim Noah now to surgery and that 4-year contract, not really a good deal. And then, you know, we cut Brandon Jennings or waived him a week or two ago. You know, I was not feeling that. I will say this, though. Kristaps Porzingis, we love him. But also Willie Hernan Gomez. He could actually play a role. I think
these?
The Knicks have – well, Kristaps Porzingis played overseas.
Who are these people? I don't know any of these people you're naming, but I do know one, and that's Phil Jackson. You said he's clearly doing a bad job. That's typical New York fan. Give him a chance. How long has he been there?
No, it's 4 years. I didn't say give him a chance.
Saying you give him a chance.
I didn't say that. The only reason I give him a chance because he used to wear the Knicks uniform. I've seen enough, frankly. So we do need to move on. I wasn't quite sure I was feeling Jeff Hornacek as a coach either, but you know, I don't think we can evaluate him on the part with the parts he was given. So I'm willing to give Hornacek a pass, but I do think between Porzingis and Willie Hernan Gomez, we do have some good pieces there to build around. Obviously, Carmelo's there and sort of, you know, obviously I think approaching, if he's not already in the twilight of his career. So I think, you know, if the Knicks really have to put some pieces together, you know, in this offseason, because you have the teams like Celtics, Raptors, Wizards, as I mentioned last week, you know, really moving up to challenge the Cavaliers, and, you know, who've made some nice upgrades themselves, frankly. So, you know, we will be quickly become an afterthought if we're actually not already an afterthought if we don't do anything in the upcoming offseason.
By the way, they lost to the 76ers last night.
I know. I know. Thanks for reminding me.
They're terrible.
Is it baseball season yet?
well, you know the Nats will win that too.
Not over my Mets, but that's for another show.
You got it. So let me ask you another question. You know, there's some small school stuff going on. CGW's in it. The Colonials started their tournament already. You know, little Washington Adventist is in the NAIA Division II. So D.C. still got some sports, even though Georgetown's down. You know, of course, Maryland's, you know, Big Ten tournament. Maryland should win that, right?
Well, they could, you know, because it's a home opportunity for them, they should be in the mix. But, you know, Big Ten's not going to be easy. Obviously, Wisconsin can do some damage. I never count out a Tom Izzo team, regardless of what the record says, frankly. You know, you have an up-and-coming Minnesota team that did beat the Terps here. I think they're going to be, you know, pretty tough, pretty good team to be on the lookout for. So this may be probably the most wide-open Big Ten tournament in a number of years, to be honest with you.
Wow. Hey, we got about 2 minutes, Craig. Tell us about your SHEE committee, that Sports, Hospitality, and Entertainment Committee. What you guys got going on over at the Chamber?
Well, thanks for asking about that. We're working on our golf tournament, which will be May the 17th at Oak Creek Country Club in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, in Prince George's County. We're really planning for a superb event. It will be our first time at Oak Creek, and we're looking to make it a top-flight event. Some of the proceeds go to the Prince George's Community College hospitality students, hopefully advance them as they pursue a degree and hopefully a career in sports, hospitality, or entertainment. And, that's really where our focus is going to be over the next couple of months. So if people are interested in being a sponsor, please reach out to the Prince George's Chamber. You can call them at 301-731-5000. Or go to the website, www.pgcoc.org, and then click on the SHEE committee or just look for the golf tournament information, and someone should be able to help you.
Wow, I need to see how the Extra Points Radio Show can get in on this. We don't get a lot of golf action around here, so
yeah,
I gotta see if I can get in on that one. That sounds like a pretty good day.
Absolutely, and you don't have to be a golfer either, because we will have a clinic for those people that may want to learn the game but don't know, just how to go about it. And so there'll be a clinic for some of the people that are interested in doing golf.
Oh, wow, really? Cool. Oh, man, I can send some people your way then.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, always a pleasure. Where can we boo you this week?
Well, I think my season is actually over. I had, as I mentioned last week, I did a couple of high school playoff games in the last few days. So I was over at St. Andrew's Episcopal in Potomac for a very good game, which you can actually see on monumentalsportsnetwork.com with Sidwell Friends, who ultimately won the league championship versus St. James. So that's out there. And also I was up in Clarksville, Maryland for River Hill being upset by Wild Lake High School, who's actually coached by Phil Chenier's son. So, So I think my season's actually over. But if you want to come out and see some good high school basketball, the Maryland State Tournament will take place here for the boys' side at Xfinity Center and up at UMBC, I think it is, for the girls. And go check out some great high school basketball in the state tournament if you're able to do that.
Good stuff, man. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for
Super referee Craig Muckle, great job again as always. That guy knows his basketball, great contributor to the show. Hey, real quick, our two-minute warning for today, it's all about accountability. It's all about accountability. We're all accountable to something or someone. So when you're called upon to be held accountable, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Don't hide behind politics. Just win. Win on the court. Win on the field, win in life, win in the boardroom, win in life again, and you'll be all good. You won't have to worry about being booed. So, hey, that's our two-minute warning for today. Let me give the website if you want to find out more about Extra Points. It's www.extrapointsllc.com. Also, reach us on Twitter. We need more Twitter followers. We need more Twitter followers. Please, 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 at Extra Points LLC. Reach us on Twitter. Follow us. At Extra Points LLC. Predictions. We had a good week last week. We're at 15-13 this season so far. Here are the predictions. I got the Bulls defeating the Clippers. I've got Georgetown upsetting Villanova. Yes, Georgetown in a huge upset. So I'm going to watch that game today and I'll scream for the Hoyas. I got the Caps winning their 15th in a row at home versus the Flyers. And I got the two blue blood game, UNC over Duke. Duke just ain't the same Duke. I'm sorry. So they're not. So those are the predictions. Hey, if you're looking for someone to speak to your team or organization, definitely book me. I'm going to be out speaking with some of the fraternity men over at Alpha. Looking forward to doing that next week. They've got a leadership institute that we're going to be speaking at. I'm excited about that. And then the day after, going out to Prince William, Virginia, to the Boys and Girls Club. My good friend Clarence Alford will be speaking to his kids. I'm looking forward to that. So if you are looking for someone to engage, inspire, and motivate your team, book me. That's right, book me. And when I mention book, absolutely, Extra Points, the life of my story. Still printing books. Books are still doing well. We're at $19.99. You can get it on the website. www.extrapointsllc.com. Please don't be that person that says, I don't read. Do not be that person. Reading is fundamental. Read, read. Everyone should read. So, hey, great show today. Thanks to Super Referee Craig Muckle. Thanks to Assistant General Manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, Phil Rye. And, of course, thanks to each and every one of you who listen week in and week out. We so appreciate it. So, hey, until next week, the Extra Point is up, and it is good.
he have a vintage moment in it?